Thanks for tuning in for another great message from The Door. This week, Brian Chavry and some of our core leaders share about a recent mission trip they took to Peru.
Lord, you're just so awesome, and you're just amazing. There's literally no one like you, God. You are yet to search for somebody in the earth and the heavens, God. We will never find someone like you, and I love you, God. Thank you for loving us so well, and thank you for always showing up to that door, God. Thank you for speaking into our hearts. I pray, God, that you will make our simple words be heavenly words, God. That let our words be your words, our thoughts be your thoughts. I pray that you will open the hearts of the people here for them to hear what you did in Peru and the things you've done and the things you're going to do. I'm just so excited to see where we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. For the ones that you don't know me, I'm Brian. I'm from Peru. And I have the opportunity, I just want to thank Andrew, especially for allowing us to share what God did in Peru. First of all, I want to start with saying my family. I talked to them today, and they say hi. And they're praying for you guys all the time, and they just wanted to say that, to let you guys know that they love you, and they're always praying for you. Getting that out of the boat, thank you, my dad and my mom. I want to, before I start anything, I really want to thank my wife for allowing me to be away from my house for a week, and she was a single parent for a whole week, and I just give it up for Kirsty, man, my gosh. You go, girl. She allowed me to go to Peru for a whole week, and just like the way she handled it was amazing. I'm going to start, before I wanted to invite the team here, I wanted to start with like the vision, how this started. You probably thought, well, he's from Peru, but obviously he's going to go back to Peru. Well, no. It started in 2015. Andrew and I, we took a trip to VOA, to Voice of the Apostles conference. And I remember just being there, and actually Randy Clark was speaking while the Holy Spirit just fall upon me. I start sweating really, really hard, and I start shaking really bad. And I was like, what's going on? And I just heard the Holy Spirit say, just start writing. And I was like, right, okay, I'm going to write. So I just start writing. I never looked at those notes until like a week after, and I went back, and I was like, go to Peru, do that. And I was like, whoa, what? So I was like, that's exciting. Yeah, I got excited. I was like, well, God just called me back to my country. That was in 2015. Well, 2 years have passed, and I finally, that word came to pass. So I went this morning, went back to those notes, and this is what I wrote. The title of the note said, go to Peru. Huh? And then I wrote, it is time for Peru to know the real God, where I am the center, where healing happens, prophecy, miracles, forgiveness, unity, and salvation. When they understand that it's not about religion, but it's all about relationship. It is time for Peru to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to see a church that will look like Jesus. And then God said, when you capture who I am, you will know who you really are. It is not what you do that makes you do. It is not what you do what makes who you are. It is who I am that makes you do the things you do. I want you to see yourself the way I see you. I want you to love yourself the way I love you. And I want you to feel the way I feel you. And with that, 2 years passed, and now I finally did it. I was like, I felt God said, do it. And I proposed to a couple people, not a lot. I mean, nobody knew about it until I was just like, you know, hey, what about this? And I was just pointing to people that God was calling me to point. And by that, we finally took the trip a week ago, and it was amazing. So now, with kind of that, like, that recap of, like, how this started, I want to invite Dakota, Aaron, Amy, and Ashley to come up. Please give it up for them. These guys out here are family now for me. Because in Javier wasn't able to make it today. He had something to do, but we spent the last, what 8 days together? Nine? It's been a while. We We've done stuff together, and like I tell you guys, these people in Olivia here in the States, alongside with Kirsty, they were part of a dream, a part of a vision. And I wanted you guys to hear what God did. You get ready and comfortable, because the things that God did, I can still not believe. Can you believe it? Like, it's unreal. So I just wanted to hear. I wanted Dakota to start sharing with you guys.
I feel kind of bad, because everything I was just praying was my whole testimony. I told myself, I was like, you know, I'm not going to do that. That would be redundant and ridiculous. But during that song, I mean, I had a couple different thoughts, because I knew I was about to come up and speak, and I didn't know, and I just kept asking the Lord, I want to say what you have to say. And he showed me that picture, and then it just kind of happened. So, but the trip for me was, how do I say it? I wanted to go, and I felt the Lord press in my heart for it. And but getting close up to it, it was getting sketchy. I didn't know if I was going to be able to go. But thankfully, finally, like at around Thanksgiving, I realized that I would have enough vacation days, and things just started to fall in place. I didn't send out letters until late, and even after I sent out letters, like, things were getting extra sketchy. And then all of a sudden, like a week before or 2 weeks before, things just started falling in place even more, and it was just so awesome, so incredible to see that. But then the week of, so they left on Wednesday, and I couldn't leave until Friday. So I was traveling by myself, which was really fun, and in a Spanish-speaking country, a not Spanish-speaking boy. And so it got really interesting. But either way, the week before, I worked, and I was tired, and I was trying to make sure I'm prepared. And then on Wednesday, my car got hit. It was parked outside of her house overnight, and I took her car and went to my house. Dang it. Took her car and went to my house, and then she called me the next morning at 4 o'clock and was like, hey, you might want to come over. Your car just got hit. And so my car was parked, got hit, some guy crossed over, whatever. And in that moment, I just thought, I was like, this is such a crazy and obvious attack from the enemy. And I just laughed. I was like, this is funny, because he's trying to distract me and possibly keep me from going to Peru. So then that's on my mind, whatever. I work Thursday. I get off, and I don't start packing until like 9 o'clock either way. And then I leave Friday morning. And Friday morning, on the way there, because I flew out of Tampa, so it was like a six-hour drive. And halfway there, we realized there's a cutoff time for check-in, and we weren't going to make it. It was like 30. I was probably going to miss it by like 20 or 30 minutes. And so we started calling American Airlines, like, hey, what is there any way we can work something out? And they were like, no, you're going to miss your flight. And then I was just reminded that moment, like, God wants me to go. I'm trying to speed through this. I'm sorry. God wants me to go on this, so I just provide, like, make this happen. So we started praying, and every 45 minutes we'd call back, and they were like, well, this is weird. Where the flight's coming from is getting delayed, so it delays your check-in time. So that happened like two or three times, and we ended up getting there with like 6 minutes to spare, which was perfect because we had to use the bathroom real bad. It was painful. And so from Tampa to Miami, then Miami to Lima, I'm not going to go into that story. I made a funky mistake, and it was cool. It was really cool. It's a cool story. And so I get to go from Lima to Trujillo, get there, and it was just so much fun to be with the team finally. And it was really cool. Like, his uncle, Tingo, which, incredible guy, super fat and super hilarious. And we're in this tiny little car. I kid you not, that is smaller than that box. I mean, it is tiny, and there is six men in this car. There's Brian, his dad, his two best friends, and then his fat uncle and me in the front seat. It was incredible. In this tiny little car, and so I'm just like amazed. I'm like sleep drunk. I feel weird. I'm just tired, and we're driving in. We're heading out of Trujillo and about to get on the highway for Laredo, and I just felt this like adrenaline rush drain out of my body. And I wasn't on an adrenaline rush. It was just the craziness of life. And I felt like I was entering into like this, just the peace of the Lord just coming over my life and coming over my entire self. And it was just really incredible. And it just set the tone for the rest of the week. And it really just turned all my focus and all my attention to Laredo and the people of Laredo and what God wanted to do. Fast forward, quickly realized that what faith really meant once you started praying and ministering to people who don't understand a single word you're saying. And I was like, what do I do? And then the Lord was just like, trust in me, you know, trust in me and my heart and what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And so I just started, that's all I could pray. I mean, it didn't matter how many experiences I've been through, how many things the Lord's taught me. It didn't matter because they didn't understand. And so I just started trusting in him in a way that I've never trusted before and praying like, God, like, I don't know what this person's going through, but touch them, do something, like fix their life, heal them, whatever they're going through. And it's really cool. I didn't tell you guys this, I just figured it out. But the Natalie's dad that you said got healed, I prayed for him one night, and I felt like he had something wrong in his body, but I didn't know if he understood English or not, because his daughter is like brilliant. She knew a lot of English. And so I prayed and I turned my head and I said, God, heal whatever in his body. And I just prayed over him, and I prayed facing this way so he wouldn't hear me. Like, I didn't want him to hear me in case he did understand English. I just wanted to trust in the Lord. And you said that he got healed. And so that's super cool. And, but what else? Oh, okay. And so the whole time this car thing is still going on back at home, I don't know if the car's totaled. I don't know if the car's going to get repaired. I don't know if that guy's insurance or my insurance is going to have to cover. I don't know if I'm going to have to pay a $500 deductible. A lot of adult things. So lame. And I'm just trusting. I'm like, you know, Lord, you got it. It's all you. And there was favor with all of that whole situation. My aunt took care of it. She was such a blessing, and I didn't have to worry about it. And so either way, the faith thing, just this peace and simplicity of life in Peru, that was a big factor. And then something else that was going behind the scenes that I didn't even realize was happening. Before going into the trip, I was really stressed out, really just full of anger towards my job. I've been really unhappy for a while, and there's just a lot of things I couldn't let go. And somewhere in Peru, somewhere along the trip, it just went away. I didn't realize it. I didn't know it until I came back home and I went to work. And there was an incredible difference in my heart towards these people, towards the people I work with, towards the company. And it was like, I was like, man, who am I? You know, like I didn't know. I just felt different. And I was, like, immediately realized it was just this supernatural thing that God did in my heart. And I didn't have to like cry my eyes out before him and like, Lord, take this from me. Like, he just took it, and it was incredible. And so either way, I've had this desire to be full time ministry ish, like serving in whatever way I can do. I'm in ministry school right now, and my deepest desire was just to be involved with the church in whatever way, in ministry, whatever I can do. So I come back, get over reverse culture shock. That was interesting. Really weird. And so I go back to work on Monday. I realized this incredible difference in my heart towards my job. And I felt the Lord say, it's time. It's time to go. It's time to turn your, like, you can do it. And I was like, but what about? And he's like, no buts, kid. Just do it. And so I didn't know about my car yet. I don't have, like, this well-paying job set up. I don't have all the details that I would pursue and I would try and make happen. I just did it. So for the first time, hands off, like, I just turned my two-week notice in on Tuesday. And it was so freeing. It was incredible. Like, the most freedom that I felt in a long time. And so then on Wednesday, I find out, going into work again on Wednesday, I get a call. The car's totaled. I will receive a check back to pay off the rest of the loan and pay off any debt that I've had that was keeping me from pursuing being in ministry and not needing this, like, well-paying job. So that's incredible. I don't know if you picked up on that. So, and that was one of the details and the things that was holding me back that I would fear was that I have all these financial demands, but I've got to have a job. I've got to work this many hours. And he kind of just took care of that all in one situation. So that was my testimony.
Dude, Dakota, give it up for Dakota, man. He was an amazing part of the trip. My family really likes him. My sister really likes him. He did call my uncle Fat because that's what we call him. I mean, he's actually, instead of calling him his name, we call him Fat, and he's fine with that. That's what he said, like, Fat Tingo. So don't get it at, like, oh, he's just calling Fat. It's okay. It's normal. He's really handsome. Yeah. Well... thanks, Akira. Next, I want to invite Ashley to share her testimony.
All right, so Peru was a really interesting experience for me, and it totally changed my life and wrecked my life in the best possible way, and I'm still, like, trying to process it, so if I say a lot of ums a lot, I'm really sorry. But basically, Peru, just to start off, like, a little bit like Dakota, how I got to Peru, I don't really understand, like, when it came about. Like, I didn't have this huge, like, oh, there's a call in your life for Peru. I think Brian just kind of asked me to go, and I said, yeah. And then, like, I got my passport and everything, and I started fundraising and, like, took a leap of faith. And I'm sure, like, most of y'all know, I blew up Facebook trying to get everyone to buy those Peru t-shirts. And I raised, like, basically over half the money. And long story short of a testimony of, like, how the Lord provides for a mission trip, recently, like, 6 months ago, there was a guy here that the Lord had called us to donate money to, because he was going on a six-month mission trip, and I just felt the Lord say, give him $500 out of your savings, and I was like, that's like half my savings, so Lord, I don't really think that's a wise decision. And so I was like, I kept getting the feeling, and I was like, well, I don't know if this is the Lord or not, but I mean, either way, what's the worst thing that could come of it? I helped fund a guy's mission trip. So not to say that out of my own glory, it's just like the Lord putting it on my heart. And then, so, like, whenever they say, like, you give something, you're going to get it right back, and I didn't do it with that intention, but later, like, months after that, I kept, like, I would have my car payment, or I would just be, like, in a time where I would want money or need money, and I was like, Lord, where's that $500? Like, I really would, like, appreciate that right now, but I didn't get it until, like, I wrote a support letter to my local church here, and they gave me $500 back, when in the letter, I didn't even say I needed that much. So it was really like a total God thing on how I got to Peru, and it really, like, settled anything the enemy tried to do with me to say I wasn't called there, because I knew the Lord had provided the money. So, like, with that in mind, like, the enemy totally tried to destroy me during Peru, but it didn't really happen because I, like, kind of sunk into a little bit more of my identity. But I, like, come into the door, you hear about healings and you hear about getting words for people all the time, and I believe in that. And I think sometimes like it can become head knowledge for me and I've never really participated in it. So there's this one day, it was like the first kind of like healing we did in Peru. It was Brian's aunt, she had like issues with her hemoglobin. And Brian like didn't tell us this until like after the trip, that when her hemoglobin is low, she has to be in the bed for a month after it. So we all like just laid hands on her and we all just prayed over her and like commanded it to leave. And she said she felt better. And I'm one of those people who doesn't get like hit to the floor like with the Holy Spirit sometimes when things happen like that. I was just like, oh, okay, she was healed. And so that was just like the start of like bigger healings and bigger miracles to come. And I think like in that, just knowing the authority we had and like knowing she was healed, like I just would lay hands on people and pray over them and like declare things over them that I never would have in my like life imagined doing, like declaring someone's sickness to be gone and it leaving. Like that's, a lot of people think that's insane, but it's from the Bible and we should do that. So that was like a big eye opener in Peru, is that you don't just have to be on a mission field to like command people to be healed in the name of Jesus, and you don't just have to be on the mission field to hear from the Lord. Because honestly, the entire time like I was on the mission trip, I was not hearing a word from the Lord. And that sounds like really bad to say that, oh, I wasn't hearing from the Lord on a mission trip. But I learned like the biggest lesson is that mission trips are not for you at all. Like a lot of people expect like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go on this mission trip. I'm gonna go to Africa, or I'm gonna go to South America, and I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna be hearing from the Lord like nobody's business. But I wasn't, and I'm still in the process of like getting into like in tune with the Lord's whispers. But so that entire time, like I would get really emotionally spent sometimes when I was around people, and it wasn't bad. Like it was good to be aware of like how much I was pouring out. So sometimes I would get frustrated with it, but sometimes I would realize it's not about me. I don't need to make it about me right now. And that like really like came to fruition whenever we had the altar calls at the conference. The church that Brian grew up in Laredo, it's really, I would almost kind of compare it to like a Baptist church here. Not a lot of people just don't know really freedom in Jesus. And I would say like some of them don't know Jesus. I mean, my testimony is a similar thing. I sat in church all my life and I didn't know Jesus until a year and a half ago. So these people like don't know like Jesus's heart for them, and they don't know the Lord's love for them. So as we're preaching this to them in the conference, and as Brian's brother and best friend are just kind of witnessing like us walking in our identity, everyone just kind of got wrecked that night at the conference, like hands up, crying. And it sounds like super dramatic and super emotional, but it just was. And so just to see like Brian's little brother Joseph, he was just like crying and like felt like such a calling on his life, and you could tell like the Lord was just speaking to him. And so to see like every single person there in that church, not just like five, but just every single person. I mean, it would have been worth it if it was just five, but every single person was getting wrecked and getting touched by the Lord. And so in those moments when I felt spent and I just looked at those people in those crowds, I was like, this is worth it. And we were talking the other night and I just kind of came to this conclusion, and you may think it sounds bad or not, but I would rather take away like my spiritual walk and take away my comfortableness with the Lord, and like, as much as I want to hear from heaven, I'd rather see everyone else in this world hear from heaven. And that was a really strong lesson to hear, because I think so many times I'm like, Lord, like, I just want to know what you're saying to me. I just want to know what you're saying to me, instead of, Lord, what are you going to use through me and what are you going to do through me? And so that just really impacted me a lot, especially with Brian's best friend and his brother. They had never laid hands on anyone before. They didn't really know like the power of it. And so once they saw us doing it and they saw like miracles happen, their lives were changed. And like that church is a changed place now. Like they still like text us and they say, oh, worship was really great and all hands were raised. And it's just insane. Like even now, like I'm still processing that we left that place a little bit more loved. And that like the fact that we gave up like our spiritual walks for a week meant that they gained like a whole new life with Jesus. And that's really what it's all worth it. And like, yes, like I love my quiet time and like I'm gonna still do it. But like it really put in a perspective that it's not about me at all. And I think like we believe that a lot in this culture, is that it's all about me and it's all about what I can receive from the Lord. But now like I look at ministry so much different, and that's why like I give my whole heart to it. Like pretty much every single day of the week, like I'm doing something with ministry. And it's not because I just want to be a busybody and I just want to do work for the church, but it's just I just want to see people have that same revelation. And so that was like one of the sweetest lessons that Peru taught me.
Thanks, Ashley. Just to talk a little bit about the altar call that happened, the pastor's kid was going through really bad drug and alcohol addictions, and he's what, 16, 17? When I got there, like the bomb was thrown up to me and said, hey, my son is acting like this. I was like, what? What in the world? And then you're going to hear a little bit more about it, but like knowing like altar calls, like everybody was getting hit. There was a time where Javier was leading worship, and then he actually started speaking in tongues while worshiping. And I was like, ooh. And the pastor was like all sitting all in the corner all the way back. He just got up and then started walking towards us. I was like, whoa. What's going to happen? And all of a sudden, I see him stop and he started worshiping. And I see his wife bawling like all the way into the corner, like an altar. Because like when Ashley said that like, everyone was getting ministered to, I'm telling you, everyone, people were stopping, like in the streets, walking in the streets, just stopping because the church, it's actually one of the main streets. So everybody walks by the church. People were stopping and were like, whoa, what is happening? They will look at what was happening and it will just be there. Like there was people that never came to church. It was this dude that just came into the, sat in the front and gave his life to Jesus. But when Ashley says like every single person was getting ministry, I'm telling you, like every single one. So that's so powerful, girl. Thank you for sharing. Give it up for Ashley one more time. Amy's turn to share.
Okay, so I'm going to share really fast. First, I just want to say that the biggest thing that impacted me there was the simplicity. And I think everyone, they haven't said it, but when we've talked about it, that was the biggest thing for everyone was the simplicity of really the country and the city and the church and everything about it. Just even down to, I mean, the water system, like, during the week, we had water from, I think it was 10 to noon, so 10 a.m. to noon. So if you had to go to the bathroom or anything, you want or shower, you wanted to do it in that short little period of time, or you needed to carry a bucket and pour the water in to flush the toilet. Just even down, I think the most impactful to me, though, was the simplicity of the love of the people, though. They welcomed us in with such open arms and, like, a love that I have never seen before. I really feel like I am and this whole team is a part of Brian's family now because the way that they welcomed us in and they just loved us. And it wasn't just his family, it was the entire church and the entire city and everyone just, I can't even describe it, just the love that they showed us and it was just amazing. So that was one really big thing for me was the simplicity and coming back home, it was kind of like a, like he said, a reverse culture shock, like you get home and you're like, oh my gosh, like the water is working and the toilets work and we're driving our cars and people aren't trying to run us off the road. And it was just, it was a good and bad culture shock. It was good because I was like, oh my gosh, like look what we're living in and what they were living in, and bad at the same time, like look what we're living in and look what they're living in. So when I came back, I just felt like everything was flipped upside down and my life was just flipped upside down. I viewed everyone and everything differently and I really didn't expect that to happen. So it was really awesome just to come back and be like, oh my gosh, like my life has been totally wrecked and I wasn't expecting it. And I think that was another big thing for me was expectancy. Like going into the trip, I had no idea what to expect. I was like, okay, are we just gonna go out and do a little street ministry? Are we going to spend time with Brian's family? Or is the conference even really going to happen? Like, we really went in with a plan, and then when we got there, the plan got thrown out the window, and we started over from scratch. And we had to live every day just like, okay, what is the plan today? Is it too hot? Like, are we going to have to relax today because it's 1,000 degrees outside? What was I saying with that? Oh, expectancy. The big thing, so I went into it just not knowing what to expect, and like they said, the conference was amazing, and it's, like she said, it sounded dramatic, but it's because that's really how it was, like it was that dramatic, and so going into it, I was like, okay, Lord, like what are you going to do, like, or is one person going to receive what I say, or two people going to receive what I say, are they going to understand me at all, is this just going to go straight over their head, and they're just like in one ear and out the other, but it was so amazing to see like how everyone truly just laid their life down for the Lord, and like their city and the church just really felt completely changed after we were there. I have one example of that. So one of the first mornings we were there, me and Aaron and Ashley went to a prayer meeting with the older ladies from the church while Brian went and picked up Dakota. And when we first got there, none of us spoke any Spanish, and they all spoke only Spanish. So we were like, we don't really know what to do. And we were sitting there, and they're handing us pillows, and we're like, what are the pillows for? And then they're like, oh, like to kneel on when you pray. And they're like, no, you have to face the chair. And we were kind of just like, oh, it was very religious, and like you have to be kneeling on the pillow while you pray, and you have to be against the chair. And so we were like, oh, okay, this is different. But then as the prayer meeting went on, like Ashley and I got a similar word that was just felt like there was a very heaviness in the church and in the city, and that everyone kind of felt Jesus as like a burden and like a heavy, heavy load, where we felt like we were there to show them the joy and the freedom and the lightness of the Lord. And just throughout that one prayer meeting that was maybe 2 hours long, from the beginning of it seeming so religious and so this is how we do this prayer meeting, to at the end we were all laying hands on all of the women and we were speaking in English and praying for them, and they were all just crying. And then the next one, at first it was just one wanted prayer, and then the next one's like, no, I want prayer too, I want prayer. So then we prayed for every single woman at the meeting, and then in turn they all prayed for us, and it was really awesome. Yeah.
Thanks, Amy. Yes. Yes. I remember talking to my grandma right after the prayer meeting, and she was like, what is going on with these girls? They're like carry something that I never feel before. And I was like, yeah, grandma, that's called the Holy Spirit. And she was like, whoa, yes. My grandma's like 85 years old. You have to understand that my grandma wakes up every day at 3 a.m. and prays from 3 to 8. Like, she prays for like every single in the family. Like, it's crazy. And I sound super like, oh my gosh. It's crazy that her prayer life, and then she comes to me and say, I've never felt like that before. And I'm like, what? But you spend like 4 hours every day praying. Like, you know, like there's something different that was stirred up in that country. And calling to culture shock, I remember that kid calling me in Tampa. I was like, dude, I hate that I have to flush a toilet every time. I was like, why? Because every time that I flush it, there's water coming down. I'm like, yeah, this is supposed to work. So I kind of like feel bad because I kind of mess their like culture stuff a little. Oh, yeah, he was like, I get up and it flushed by itself. In Peru, like, you have to pour buckets of water after you do whatever you do in the bathroom. But anyways, so it was kind of like pretty, when I left Peru, water was from like 8 to 6 p.m. So that's what I told the guys. I was like, don't worry about it. We don't have to, from 8 in the morning to 6 p.m. And still, everybody was a little nervous. But when we got there, there was only from 10 to noon. And then plus, the second day of the trip, a pipe broke in the entire city. The entire city was without water for 3 days. So that was interesting. So now I want to let Aaron share. Thank you, Amy, so much.
Hi. So just like everybody else, I'm still trying to process the trip and like just how crazy and amazing it was, and what God did there was just so crazy. Just a little bit of background before the trip. I've known Dakota, Amy, and Brian for like 5 or 6 months. I texted Ashley one time. I was like, hey, do you know a church that I can go to? Like, I'm really looking for a church. She was like, the door is awesome. I was like, I'll try it. And but yeah, I mean, it's since then my life's changed and grown closer to God. And the first time that I met Brian, we talked for like an hour, and I was like, wow, this guy's from another country. The second time that I met him was at Missional Community, and we played a board game at his house after Missional Community, and we were talking about South America for some reason, and he was like, hey, have you ever been to South America? I was like, no, I haven't. He was like, do you want to go? And I was like, yeah, let's go right now. Like, I thought he was kidding. And he's like, no, seriously, like, I want to go to Peru. I want you to come. And I was like, oh. I was like, what's your last name again? But since then, the Lord has been, like, just really working on that. And, you know, there's so much hype in my heart. His first mission trip, so much hype in my heart, like, going into Peru. Like, I was like, going to go into Peru, going to change so many lives, going to be so amazing. And, like, about 2 days into the trip, I was like, we're in Peru. Like, this is so crazy. Like, I like all this hype up to the trip. But You know, I mean, it was crazy. Instant culture shock. You know, we got in the car from the airport, and I thought I was going to die like 5 or 6 times in the car. I mean, the traffic there is like insane. Like, they are so good at driving. Like, just different stuff like that. We went and got mattresses out of a church and shoved like 11 mattresses into a little taxi. And just awesome stuff like that. And a little bit about my personal testimony while I was there. You know, like I said, I went into it thinking, you know, like, I'm going to change like so many lives. Like, God is going to use me to do so many different things. And like, He did use us to do so many different things, but like, the expectation versus reality once you get there is insane. Like, we got there and we knew that we were going to do the conference at the very end of the trip, and we knew that it was centered towards youth. And we're just sitting there, and Brian comes up to us after talking to the head pastor at the church, and he was like, "So the head pastor just told me that we have about 2 youth coming to the conference, 2, and we were all like, we were like, whoa, like, we thought we were going to be like talking to hundreds and hundreds of youth. Like, and Brian's like, yes, you guys have 2, and like, you know, of course we're thinking like, well, if we can touch 2 lives, like, that would be amazing. But at the same time, like, our expectations were completely thrown out the window, and we kind of had to, like Amy was saying, like, come up with a new plan of what we were doing. And for me, I am incredibly confident with my Spanish. Not really, but I tried really hard to become fluent, and it didn't work. But, you know, like, obviously you have a language barrier, and all that is really hard. And so a lot of the times when you're praying with people, you have that thought, like, what if like, they don't understand me, am I actually making a difference here? Like, what am I doing here? And you know, like, for me, I had a lot of those thoughts that was like, why are we here? Like, what are we doing here? And those thoughts are attacks from the enemy, and you kind of have to realize that while you're there. You have to be really guarded while you're there. And what for me, like, I was just praying one night. I was like, God, I'm having all of these like doubts and thoughts about why we're here, and I just need some like reassurance from you. Like, I really need some reassurance, something. So I went to sleep, woke up the next morning, and we went out, and Brian had had somebody tell him that they needed prayer, and so we went to their house, and it was a woman, and you're probably going to hear more about this from these guys. I mean, it was so powerful. There was a woman there who she hadn't walked since like October last year or something like that, and she hadn't walked for a year, and she was battling all this anxiety and this fear and all of these issues, and we got to lay hands on her, and we got to pray with her, and the prayer that we prayed was unlike any prayer that I've ever prayed. We prayed for probably like 15 minutes straight, and like, the power that we felt, that I felt, that God was in that room was insane. You know, like, we sing the song of He's a miracle working God, and you know, like, you hear about miracles, you always hear like, you need to pray for miracles, you need to pray for healing, but when like saying it and actually seeing it, is it's insane. And so you like, I was having all of these issues like, God, like, what am I doing? I really need some reassurance from you. We prayed with her for 15 minutes. She hadn't walked in a year, and we all backed away from her after we prayed with her, and it was so powerful. Like, I cannot explain how powerful it was. It was so powerful. We backed away from her, and Brian told her to get up, and I was like, no, 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 no. She cannot get up right now. And she stood up and walked, and it was insane. Like, it was, yeah. And so, like, for me, that was the turning point for me. I was like, God just listened to me, answered my prayer, and gave me that reassurance. And from then on, I mean, we saw so many different things. And, you know, we still had that difference between expectation and reality. But, like, I mean, like they said, the altar calls during the conference were ridiculous. I mean, the first day of the conference, we started with, like, 20 people. The next day, multiplied and multiplied. I mean, at the end of the conference, it was packed. And, you know, like, I was worshiping in Spanish. You know, we don't really understand it. But, I mean, the worship was awesome. Javier is a great singer. I would be worshiping, lift my hands up, eyes closed, and I would look up, and I would see all these people like holding up their hands, and I'd be like, wow, that's amazing. You know, like Amy said, they come from so conventional, like, it's so conventional. And I look up. They're all lifting up their hands. I put my head back down, continue to pray, and look up. And I look to my left and my right, and they're not there anymore. They're all at the front of the church with their hands up in the air. And, I mean, like, it's insane. And I was telling them this, that, like, we were called. We, during the altar call, Brian said, hey, I'm going to call you guys up during the altar call to pray with these people during the altar call. And, you know, we're used to, here we're used to, like, 5-6 people coming to altar call, and that's amazing. But like, he called us to altar call, we got up on stage, and like, if you're standing on the stage, it's just packed with people. And I was telling them that I felt like a spiritual warrior. Like, he sent us out into this group, like, mass of people just to pray with them. And yeah, I mean, it was so amazing. And so, like, the doubts that I had from the beginning were completely washed away, and, you know, just got an amazing, amazing miracle from God. It was so amazing. So,
dude, give it up for these people. My goodness. Thank you guys so much. Well, I just want to, we're almost done. If you're looking at your clock, and just, I really wanted you guys to hear them, and because when they shared that with me, we were like planning a whole different thing tonight, but when they shared that with me, I was just like, I got chills and everything, but just so thankful for them. My experience, and I wanted to share with you guys what I felt, and it is just unbelievable. When I go back home, what I normally expect is to spend time with my family, to spend time with the one that I love. Well, I got there, and there's... I was like, I want to lead worship. I finally want to lead worship in Spanish and the things that I love. Well, the first day, I lose my voice completely. Like, I lost it. And I was just like, are you serious right now? Like, what? And then I get sick on my stomach. Me, like a Peruvian, like, I'm not supposed to get sick on my stomach. Are you kidding me? Like, not even Aaron got sick while there. I was like, what in the world? Like, what? Me, like, I got so sick. I was like, I'm coming to my country. Lose my voice. I have to preach. Like, I how many times I spoke, like 8-10 times while I was there. I was like, what? Like, I just lost my voice. I was like, what am I have to do? I was like, so I led worship that Saturday, and I was like, ugh! I was like pushing it so hard. I like, if Mike would have been there, he would have like fired me because it was so bad. Anyways, but I did it. I was like, I'm gonna lead worship no matter what. I have voice, no voice. And I was just like, we had like 15 youth, and it was amazing. But my, like the guy said, like, my expectations were thrown out the window. And even though I said I don't want to expect anything from myself, I just want to expect what you expect, God. But even that was just thrown through the window, and I was just like crazy. I really want to touch a little bit about the woman that walked. The night before, I spoke at the church in a Sunday. I spoke 2 services, and I spoke about Josiah and how we are supposed to put what we read into action, like everything that you read in the Gospels, whatever you read, like you have to do the things you learn. Like, the devil is good to experience the God's presence inside the 4 walls, but when you take that out to the field, then it's when he gets ticked off. Well, that message, I thought, like, nobody received it, anything. I was, like, super bummed out. I was like, man, if this just goes this way, like, how's the conference going to go? So I was really bummed out. So I was, like, talking to the pastor, talking to everybody. We're like, dude, thank you for coming. Thank you. You know, they're being nice. I was like, yeah, whatever. These 2 ladies come to me, and they say, they were like, Brian, you just spoke to that, but nobody teaches how to do it. Like, how do we do it? I was like, that's a good question. Like, well, you go there and pray for people with your laying hands on. What are laying hands? Like, what are you talking about? I was like, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? And anyways, the same lady comes, well, there's this lady that needs prayer. Like, she wasn't able to walk. And I'm like, that's it. Let's do it. What about tomorrow? 10 in the morning. I was like, meet me there. I'll meet you there. I'll be there. And I was like, I tell the team, hey, let's do this. We're going to go to prayer tomorrow. Get ready. That night, something really weird happened. This is good. Ashley, do you want to share that? You have to hear this. I'm sorry we're going a little out of time, but you have to hear this.
First or second? So, like I said, like, the enemy kept trying to attack us a lot throughout this trip. And so we all were sleeping in the church. And so... I remember, like, during that night, the night before that, like, I didn't really, like, know we were going to do that. I mean, I'm sure they mentioned it, but I guess I wasn't paying attention. So I was just trying to sleep, and, like, I, for some reason, I just got this fear that there was, like, a demon in the room, and, like, I'm not, like, super, super in tune with stuff like that. So I just kind of got really afraid, and, like, I couldn't see anything, but for some reason, I just kind of got this feeling like this demon was laughing at me, and I just felt so scared to go to sleep. So I kept trying to wake people up. Like, I tried to wake Amy up. She wasn't waking up. I tried to, like, like probably do Brian or Dakota. I tried to wake a lot of them up and they wouldn't wake up. So I hit Aaron and Aaron like finally wakes up and he goes, huh? And I was like, Aaron, like I really can't go to sleep. Like I really need you to pray with me. So he, the first time he goes to pray with me, he grabs me and he just like slams his head like against my shoulder and says, Jesus, like I just want you to know like that you love Ashley in Jesus' name, amen. And he goes back to sleep and I was like, I was like, well, that's not working. And I was like, I wouldn't try to go back to sleep because I was like, I don't really want to bother anyone. But then I was like, I just couldn't deal with it. I felt so scared. And it was just so silent in that room, but I felt like so much fear. So I went and I hit Aaron again, like I probably slapped his foot or something. And I said, Aaron, like, I feel like there's like a presence in this room. Like, I really need you to pray with me. And so I was like, I really feel like we should need to cast it out. So like he prayed with me and we kind of prayed like a casting out prayer, but not really. So like I couldn't go to sleep. So I just grabbed my phone, and because there's like no like data, you can't use your phone at all. Like there's no Wi-Fi in the church. So I just looked up like pictures of like Bible verses that I had saved on my phone and tried to go to sleep. And by the grace of God, I fell asleep because I was terrified. And so I'm going to let Amy share this next part, which is really cool.
Okay. So the next morning I woke up and for some reason I just felt like I needed to tell Ashley this. I was like, Ashley, I had this weird dream last night. I was like, I had a dream that there was a demon in the church sleeping with us and that it was laughing at us because we like invited it in as a friend and we welcomed it, but then it was laughing at us once we realized what it really was. And so then the dream was that we were sitting there trying to cast the demon out. Do you know?
This is where I want to share, like, really, because I saw these two girls punch a demon in the teeth, like, right in the teeth. I woke up, and Amy says that, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, I promised her parents that I'm going to protect them, and now, like, I'm battling with a demon. What in the world? Like, and here's Miss Patty, but sorry. Anyways, but like, I was like, okay, I'm the leader. I'm supposed to go and cast this demon out. And I was like, and the Lord's like, wait, you don't. Like, I commend this to Ashley and Amy. And I was like, what? I was like, what in the world? Like, okay. So I was like, what do I do? So we start praying. Listen, we don't speak in tongues in Peru. We don't do anything. And then we're like worrying, like Amy and Ashley, like just praying, like Aaron is praying, Dakota is praying. My brother and my best friend, they go into the wall and they're like, whoa, what's happening? I was like, dude, just pray with us. So I start praying, and then we start praying, and Amy points at this hole, like they pointed at the shower. And actually, I think, is that the second one, the first one? Okay, that's the first one when you? He wasn't praying, he was in the shower. this hole, we pointed at the shower, and Amy comes, like in this place, and she said, it's here. And I was like, whoa. What's happening? I started shaking, and then Ashley can tell that I start shaking like nonstop. I couldn't control it. I was like, I'm not afraid, but what am I shaking? I see, and then Ashley comes and puts her shoulder on my Amy's right here, and I'm like, just put her hand up over Amy, and I put my hand, and she starts weeping, like, and she starts declaring that you have to go, you don't have authority over this city, over this place, over this any of this. And she was like, I've never seen Amy play with such boldness, nor Ashley, nor anybody. And Dakota is there showering, and I don't know what he thought about us, but he was like, he's showering all the way into the end of the hallway. We're casting the demon out. I saw my best friend and my brother next to my other shoulder praying. And Amy says, it is gone. And all of a sudden, all this presence just, and we felt such peace and such joy. For such a timing thing, we cannot share about the other one, but there was another one the next day. But I just felt like that day, it started like that, with the demon cast. I was feeling like I was gonna throw up. Bad thing. So we went to pray for this lady, and I get to the lady, and as soon as we walked in, we sense the presence of fear. Did you guys see that? This lady was even afraid of the cold air, because the cold air will get her sick. That's how bad it was. And like, she never left her house. She had a 10-year-old boy. And as soon as we walked in the door, the Lord says, you got to get that fear out of here. And now look, we're pumping in because we just punched the demon. You know, we're just like, did this. And we're like, all confident. And I just walk, and I was like, and the Lord again is like, shuts me down and says, let the people of Peru lay hands on her. I was like, okay, whatever. Okay, you do whatever you want to do, Lord. And so I told everybody, my best friend and my brother were like, dude, what are we going to go there? Like, that lady is scary. Like, and she was a little scary. She was really skinny. Like, she could barely move her hands. You will see her in a video later. But like we start praying for her, and I was like, dude, start praying like never before. I told him in Spanish, and my brother starts just screaming his prayer, like starts like, in the name of Jesus, I commend you. And he started like, I was like, whoa, what's happening? And the entire team starts like, and I start weeping all of a sudden. And I'm like, Lord, what are you doing here? Like, I start praying against fear, 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 fear. He brings a 10-year-old boy. The 10-year-old is battling with the same fear. We prophesy over here, and I just saw his little boy, her little boy, like filling up the stadiums of Peru, like being this evangelist in Peru. I declare he starts weeping. Her mom starts weeping. I said, if you don't, you have to let your fear go. You have to let your fear go. And she's like, I'm letting my fear go. And I was like, okay, if you're letting your fear go, then get up. And I was like, I tried to help her, and she goes like, and she starts walking. I'm like, what? I was like, what in the heck just happened? And I was like, and the team was just like, there's a picture in there where I'm just like this. I couldn't believe it. My brother couldn't believe it. My grandma couldn't believe it. My grandma's been going there the entire year, just rubbing her legs with this oil, just praying for her. But like, she saw the miracle happen. Anyways, that was a miracle, guys. And it was a spiritual warfare between them. Yes, give it up to God. Man, I just want to invite you guys to sit down now. Thank you so much. And I just want to end up with this, guys. I just feel like the simple gospel, that's what I like, you name it like this. It's the simplicity of loving. And in the conference, guys, there's no lights. There's nothing special about the conference. There's nothing. Not even the music. The mix of the sound was horrible. But, like, everything was just so simple. Like, when we got into there, we were like, God, we just want your presence. We just want your presence. The day of the conference, Javier gets canceled with his flight. I have no voice to sing. He gets canceled. The flight gets canceled. He can't come in the morning. He comes at 3 p.m., goes straight up to rehearsal, leads worship. The presence of God is so heavy. He's exhausted. But the presence of God is there. And, like, we just saw those 25 people. Like, we talked about how God's love is present, you know, and then he talks about callings, and I talked about you were made for such a time as this. So it was all pointing at what God wanted to point. It was just so simple, and I just want you to get out of this place knowing that it's all about the simple gospel. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to go through 10 years of Bible school so you can finally get people to get to know God. It's just the simplicity of who he is. Listen, often as Christians, we are famous to pray for revival, but we're equally famous in missing revival because we are too focused on the things we think are revival, and we get caught up in all these complicated things where God is doing the totally opposite thing. We're so famous on praying for revival, but we're equally famous in missing revival because we're too focused on the things that we know are right and not the things that God wants to do. If we are just focused on the simple things that God wants to do, then you will see him move in a mighty ways you cannot understand. That's my, like, I've never seen such miracles that I've seen before. Like, people were coming to the conference hurting, and we didn't even pray for people to get healed. They were just hitting immediately. There was this lady that comes, Brian, I came with my wrist, I couldn't even move, and now I was able to worship God because he healed me. Like, I didn't even pray for it. Do you understand when your heart is focused on the simple ways and the simple things that he does for us? It's all about the simplicity of who he is. He's not a complicated God. We serve a simple God that loves us so much. That's what the Bible is all about. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it's a letter from heaven to us. Where are we getting our stuff wrapped up? Why are we complicating things so much? The word gospel means just good news. Listen, God's gift to you, it's ability. Your gift back to him is availability. Like you said, if you step up and say, God, I'm available, I'm imperfect, I'm this, but I want you to use me, then God will give you his gift with its ability. He will give you the ability to do the things you were supposed to do. This is not a complicated message, guys. We were just normal, imperfect people, willing to do whatever it takes to get people saved. I'm coming from a background that lived that lifestyle until I met my wife. My wife were the one that saved me. But I was just like, when I saw my church, every single day of the conference, I went to the team and I told them, guys, this is not okay. Like, this is not normal. Like, you have to understand, not because you see it in the United States the whole time, you could see it here. Like, you have to get your mind wrapped up in that God is moving in such a mighty, mighty way. Our goal as a team, guys, was never to do all the things God, all the things God wanted us to do. Our goal was just to love on people. Our goal as a team, I told everybody, like, our goal as a team is just go love the heck out of them. Like, love on them every single time. When Ashley shared about the testimony, my Aunt Pilar went there, and, like, she was like, I'm going to come and serve you guys. She came and cooked for us, and that day that she decided to cook, she gets sick, and I was like, oh, Lord, please heal her. And she was able to serve us the entire week. She cooked for us. She helped my mom cook. She helped my mom clean. She loves us like nobody. Like, my friend Juan Carlos, he quit his job. That way he can hang out with us for the entire week. He was like, I'm going to quit my job because I want to have what you have. My brother Joseph was so impacted. Like, I've never seen a church like that. And I want to see that. I want to make that a lifestyle. And I was, God, how do I make this a lifestyle? And he says, trust in my simple gospel. It's that simple. Why are we so anxious about tomorrow when we can live our lives our fullest every single day? If we could just live tonight, like it's never going to come back, then you're going to see God move like never before. If you came here anxious for tomorrow, God said, why are you getting worried about tomorrow? Even the birds have something to eat. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's that simple. You have, the only thing that it takes is just to be available.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you enjoyed this week's message. For more information about The Door and Take the City, please visit us at www.takethecity.com. Have a blessed week.